It's time for us to talk a little Boston Bruins hockey. And to do that, we welcome in our friend Ty Anderson from 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Hey there, Ty.
Hey, Rich. How are we doing today?
I am, ever since I saw your post, I have been craving buffalo chicken chowder.
Oh, it's delightful, right? And it's kind of funny that a lot of people are not aware of the existence of buffalo chicken chowder. It's an absolutely fantastic winter treat, especially when it's, a nice 10 degrees outside and you want something to heat you up across the board. That's my go-to soup, so that's what I had to pick there. And I hope more people go out and enjoy it now that they're aware of it.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. It would go well with watching an old-fashioned butt-kicking. And look, I know the Canadians aren't what they used to be, but for this old Bruins guy, it was sure fun to see them put up a 9 spot on Montreal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's really impressive about it, the fact that, they had to kind of weather a storm here in this game. And that sounds weird when you look at a 9-4 final. But, for the first half of the game, the Bruins really were kind of, in my opinion, playing with their food. They were letting the Canadiens into it. They weren't taking charge of the game. They were having some sloppy breakdowns, some sloppy goaltending. Linus Ullmark's first game back since January 9th. But, they found that extra gear in the third period, and they took the game over and really put it to bed early. And this has been a hallmark of their success last year and of late. They have rediscovered that third period magic of putting teams away and finding that extra gear in the final frame. And typically of late, it's been defensively, but you saw it offensively on Saturday night. And yeah, of course, whenever you're paying homage to the 1988 Bruins team, the team that broke the Montreal jinx, it's just fitting to score 9 goals, and to have the offensive night they had. It's a nice throwback to the 80s for the Bruins.
And you also wrote about the fact that we're maybe seeing the emergence of a new defenseman for the Bruins.
Yeah, so on Saturday, kind of a quiet move. It flew under the radar a little bit, as they actually converted Parker Watherspoon's emergency recall to a regular NHL recall. Now, the significance of that is that to send him back down to Providence, he would not require a waiver. And if you've seen Watherspoon this year, that he's a player who would probably get scooped up by a team should the Bruins try to waive him. He's 26 years old. He's played well this year. His underlying and advanced metrics on the PK have been fantastic. They've given up just 2 goals in 38 minutes of shorthanded time on ice with Watherspoon out there for the last month. But you look at him, he's making league minimum. Again, he's 26, and he's a restricted free agent at the end of the year. So a team would definitely claim him, knowing they have his rights beyond this year. So this seems to be your new number 7 defenseman. He's going to be the 6th tonight. He's going to play for Kevin Shattenkirk, but definitely a guy who I think has earned his way into a full-time role with this team. It's just a matter of, does it stop at 6, or does he continue to maybe challenge, a guy like Derek Forbert or a guy like Matt Grzelcyk, two players who have had some consistency issues this year. Does he challenge them for their role in the team? So it's going to be really interesting here, but that move on Saturday basically confirms that he is here for the long haul.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. Well, a 4-game winning streak for the Bruins. A lot of things have been going well. So many guys got involved in the scoring in that win over Montreal. What do you see as the key to this recent run of a really strong play?
Yeah, we sort of alluded to it talking about those third periods there, but I think just balanced scoring. For a while there, it was on David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand to carry the offensive load. But you've seen Jake DeBrusk wake up here of late. He has 13 points in his last 13 games, including 7 goals. You're seeing Danton Heinen, he gets back on the board with a hat trick. That's not going to happen every night, but if he can continue to generate, that is a sort of a great weapon for them. Pavel Zacha is scoring again. Morgan Geekie's been solid. So I think you're just seeing more guys kind of find their next level, so to speak. They came out of the Christmas break knowing that they had more to give, knowing that players on their team had more to give. And I think you're seeing it right now. Everyone's confidence is at a pretty, pretty good level. Everyone's typically happy with their game. And I think you're seeing it in terms of balanced scoring, basically every night to this point.
Jeremy Swayman certainly rose to the occasion when he was needed in the absence of Linus Ullmark. But what does it mean to the team overall to have Ullmark back in that rotation?
Well, it's huge because it doesn't force them to burn out Jeremy Swayman. You know, when they recalled Brandon Bussey from Providence, I was kind of expecting him to get a game. But, you know, talking to people within the Bruins, they were pretty adamant that, nope, this is going to be Jeremy Swayman's run here. And it's kind of interesting, you know, like you can't burn out one of these goaltenders in January or February. That's just not conducive to what this team's, you know, building blocks for a long run are. Like, they need to be rested and balanced and ready to go. And so having Linus Allmark back really allows them to sort of manage their goaltenders, make sure that they're not playing four games in a week or three games in 5 days, whatever the case may be. And that's, again, that's what's made them a great team. You know, you look at some teams that around the league that you say they could be a little bit better. You know, a commonality you tend to find is that they have to play their ace goaltender every single night because they don't trust the backup. And that leads to, you know, some wear and tear, especially in the second half of the year when you're playing more four-game weeks and more back-to-backs and threes and fours, you know. And so to not have to do that is such a luxury. Like, the Bruins can roll out a number one goaltender every single night. I mean, no other team in the league can do that. And that's why they didn't trade one of these guys. That's why they like where they are, and that's why they are where they are, for that matter.
The trade deadline, about 6 weeks away. Are there any needs for the Bruins, and is there anybody out there that could fill whatever need that might be?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question because you look at their cap situation right now. They really don't have a lot of wiggle room. A trade for them would likely involve trading somebody off their roster. Now, who would that be? You know, like, they have some guys in contract years. You talk about Matt Grizzlick, Derek Forbert, JVR, Kevin Shattenkirk, Jake DeBrusque even. Like, they have guys who are pending UFAs, and if they're not in their long-term plans, does it make sense to try to parlay them into a bigger move that addresses your present and your future? So that's a really interesting question. You know, the Milan Lucic situation is really intriguing from the standpoint of, you know, he did fill a need for them, you know, a physical, tone-setting bottom six winger. They lost Garnett Hathaway a year ago. They lost A.J. Greer on waivers. And it's because, you know, they had Lucic and they felt comfortable, you know, with having him here. But he's likely not coming back. I am shocked if he's back in any capacity for the Bruins this year. So maybe you look at the bottom six and say you want a little bit more nasty there, a little bit more physicality, some tone setting, you know, to shift the tide of a game. And that's when you kind of, you look around and, you know, a guy that may be of intrigue to them could be Liam O'Brien out in Arizona. He's a tough customer. He has over 100 hits this year. He's not afraid to fight. And so that might be a guy that you look at and say, okay, he's cheap enough and the cost probably won't be crazy high. You know, maybe a player like that or a player like Washington's Nick Dowd could be another guy, play center and wing. So they have some options, but not a lot of draft capital and not a lot of cap space to make a big move happen.
Boy, it's a busy week for the Bruins. The Jets tonight, and then Wednesday, Thursday, back-to-back with the Hurricanes and the Senators, and then close out the week on Saturday against the Flyers. What's the key to them being successful in this four-game stretch?
Yeah, I think their offense has to keep on, you know, chugging along here. You look at Winnipeg, this is a team that has just been phenomenal. Really like the way they're playing under Rick Bonus. Their defense is intriguing because their defense is on the smaller side. You know, we've talked about it that, you know, the new blueprint has been having big defensemen.
No.
Winnipeg's team is on the smaller end on the back end there. So it'll be interesting to see how that transpires tonight. Obviously, Winnipeg has tremendous goaltending with Connor Hellebuck. And they got some players here, you know, they totally won the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade. It seems like every player they got from that trade is playing fantastic for Winnipeg right now. So they're a balanced team. Carolina's a team that, without Svechnikov, they look really mortal. You know, like, they don't look like the same kind of team that you saw these last few seasons. So if the offense is there, they should be able to, you know, win three out of four this week. But, you know, the team defense and the three-zone ability of the defenses of both Carolina and Winnipeg should make things interesting, I think, for the Bruins these next two games.
Ty Anderson from 98.5, the Sports Hub. Ty, great stuff, as always. Now, we're getting back on our rotation after the holidays, which means if it all works out and if it's good for you, you'd be back on with us next Monday. I hope we can do that.
Yeah, let's do it. Why not?
All right. We'll catch you then. Have a great week. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll check in again on Monday.
Thank you. You as well. Take care.
That's Ty Anderson talking Bruins with us here on Downtown.